More than a week later, demonstrations continue in Boston and around the country over the lives lost last week in Baton Rouge, Falcon Heights, Minnesota, and in Dallas. But some elected office holders of color here in Massachusetts say the demonstrations are not enough. So they've assembled a list of public policies they say could help address concerns about racial inequality in policing. Joining us this morning is one of those elected leaders to talk about this, State Representative Russell Holmes, who's one of 18 office holders to sign a public letter to Governor Baker, legislative leaders, and all the mayors in Massachusetts. Good morning, Representative Holmes, and thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition.
Thank you for having me.
Representative, you make it a point in the letter to praise the hard work done by Massachusetts police officers in this state. Is it possible, though, for dialogue here that's less polarizing and in which police don't feel under attack?
I believe that it is, because as we also said in the letter, we're trying our best to find, as the president did, a medium to begin to say both sides, that is, folks on the Black Lives Matter and the activist side and the police side need to be very well respected. And so we tried to strike a balance, as the president did, with the letter and with our thoughts as we enter this process.
I'm wondering how surprised you are or concerned you are about the new poll that's just out by Mass Inc. and the Boston Foundation, which shows that 1 in 3 Black Boston residents does not believe police officers treat minorities fairly, which is double the number of white residents who maintain that same belief.
White communities in Boston experience police very different than communities of color. There are lots of folks who do not like when you're driving down Blue Avenue, and when you drive down Blue Avenue, you see someone who's pulled over, Black, Hispanic, sitting on the side of a street, handcuffed, and people searching through cars. I've never seen something of that nature happen over in our white neighborhoods, and those type of things make you have a very different experience with the police.
So on the state level, you're proposing changes in police training and certification that could conceivably change that kind of behavior by police. What improvements do you want to see and why?
Well, one of the biggest improvements we want to see is something called Police Officer Standards and Training. The acronym is called POST. And one of the reasons why is because you don't want a bad police officer to move from one police department to another. So that way you can then have it so that folks can understand they have a standard they have to adhere to at all times.
At the local level, you propose police body cameras, bias training, and civilian review boards for all Massachusetts cities. But of course, some of those things, especially the body cameras and the civilian review boards, are sometimes opposed by local officials and local police departments. So I'm wondering how realistic that is.
When we said civilian review boards, we set it in that way simply so that the community can understand, because that's a familiar word. What we're really talking about there in Boston is there is an ombudsman, a group of 3 folks who are appointed that help to oversee some of the ways in which the community has some input on disciplinary of police officers, but they have really no teeth. But we're asking, give that review board and ombudsman team more teeth to have more influence. And so we believe that is certainly possible. And then when it comes to police cameras, what happened was that we, as the signers of this letter, knew that we were in the process of preparing for body cameras, but did not feel as though the rollout went very well, meaning today we've had an announcement that there's going to be a rollout of police body cameras in the program. If you think about the folks who signed the letter, Holyoke, Springfield, Lawrence, Boston, we're the folks who see the most amount of activity. And so this being something realistic is certainly possible, because we've already had conversations with the Senate president. We're meeting with the speaker on Wednesday as a caucus, and I've already been in conversations with the governor and his staff around what things do we think we can get done before July 31st, and something is possible.
One more question, Representative. On a state level, your group suggests establishing a system for special prosecutors to take charge of all police-involved shootings. So I'm wondering, what concerns do you have about the current process under which elected district attorneys take on these investigations for the most part?
The simple concern is that the local DAs and police work together hand in hand each day. We have not seen anything that's a violation, but we're concerned with that relationship, as we don't want the folks who are working hand-in-hand each day to now be the ones who are investigating one another.
State Representative Russell Holmes, who chairs the Massachusetts Black and Latino Legislative Caucus, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Do you think of delegates to the national political conventions, which start next week, as crusty old political veterans of conventions dating back decades to the 19-somethings? After all, Hillary Clinton is 68, Donald Trump is 70, not exactly spring chickens. Well, by comparison, we introduce you this morning to the youngest delegates of both conventions. Both are from New England. Both are 17 years old, but will be 18 by Election Day. Chase LeCair from Colchester, Vermont, is the Republican delegate, and Trevor Dewiron from Jay, Maine, is the Democratic delegate. We spoke to both of them about young people's place in the world of politics. All right, Chase, let me start with you. I want to start with how you got involved in politics, both of you. Your political awareness, as I understand it, began when you heard Rand Paul speak. How old were you then, and how did it impact you?
Yeah, well, he came to visit Vermont last August. So I think when I got to meet him and I really heard his speech and I heard his message of liberty and limited government, that really resonated with me and a lot of other young people and inspired me along with a lot of other people to get involved.
Trevor, how about for you? As I understand it, it was going to a Howard Dean rally with your uncle.
That is correct. That was back in the year 2008 when President Obama was first running. That was the Howard Dean rally for our U.S. Senate candidate at the time, and that was my first actual time that I got involved with the Democratic Party, and it all started there.
How old were you in 2008?
I was 10 at the time.
All right, so now we've cycled up to 2016. Trevor, what prompted you to want to become a delegate to the national convention?
Some people have the attitude that this generation doesn't want to work, they don't want to do anything, they can't do anything, and I really wanted to prove that, you know what, this generation can do great things, and in my case, you know, on the national stage.
Jace, what prompted you to become a delegate?
What inspired me to become a delegate is along the lines of what Trevor was saying, to give millennials and young people a voice. I think we're very underrepresented on the national stage and at the convention. 4 years ago in Tampa, the average age of a delegate was about 65 years old.
Did you both consider yourselves long shots or not to become delegates to your respective national party conventions? Jace, you first.
I think it was definitely an uphill battle because a lot of people at my state convention, you know, they didn't know me.
How'd you win them over?
Phone calls, emails, flyers, you know, shaking their hands, talking to them, just, you know, putting in the hard work, and it ended up working out.
All right, Trevor, how about you?
Like Jace, I did not really have the name recognition that some of the people had that were running, but, you know, I ran on having a new generation of leadership within the Democratic Party, and we needed some fresh blood, and that really excited a lot of people, and I got a lot of positive responses with that message.
I want you both to make the case for the candidates from your respective parties. Trevor, you've been a Clinton supporter since the start of her campaign. What's the case in your mind? What's the case for Hillary Clinton?
You know, Hillary Clinton has dedicated her entire life to public service. I mean, whether it was her time as First Lady, where she worked to get 8 million children health insurance, or when she made the bold move in 1995 to declare that human rights are women's rights and women's rights are human rights. We saw her as a U.S. senator fight for funding for families of 9/11. And, you know, I just think that she has a lot of experience and a lot of expertise to bring to the table.
Jace, make the case for your candidate, Donald Trump.
The case I would make for him is, you know, he's a businessman. He knows how to fix the economy we have. We're about $20 trillion in debt right now. Also, the reason of Hillary Clinton's untrustworthiness, you know, what Bernie Sanders said the best, she has bad judgment, you know, whether it be with the Benghazi or her emails. You know, the FBI director said she was negligent.
All right, Trevor, Donald Trump question. Why would Donald Trump not make a good president from your point of view?
I believe Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit to become president of the United States. So if we have somebody who's the president of the United States and just spouts off whatever is on the top of his head, I think that's very dangerous. That, you know, this election could change the tone of the country for an entire generation.
Jace, respond to that.
That he speaks his mind is also what a lot of Americans think. You know, a lot of the people that don't like Clinton, they think she doesn't really say what she's thinking. She says whatever her pollsters tell her to do. So I think that would ultimately be a good trait, speaking your mind and being honest.
I think a lot of people hope that there'd be more civility among the candidates this election cycle. How about the two of you? You're pretty civil when the three of us are speaking. Do you respect each other's views, and have you chatted somewhat during this campaign so far?
Yeah, Trevor was nice enough to reach out to me before. I think we both have a mutual respect for, you know, what each other did, because we really understand what each other had to go through. I do think there is a problem with the heated rhetoric this season, and I do think we need to calm it down.
And I would agree with that, too. So we have to work together to find common ground on the issues.
Is there any possibility that either of you would cross party lines to vote for the other candidate this election cycle?
No.
I don't think so.
It's summertime. I'm sure you both have friends doing other things besides going to conventions this July. Don't you want to be out at the beach?
I definitely would, but I take my job very seriously as a delegate. But, you know, throughout doing these interviews and doing the studying for the platform, I have had some time to enjoy my summer.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. And, you know, I try to find time to relax with my friends this summer as well.
As you're 17, both of you, I'm sure you're both thinking about what comes next. Is politics maybe at some point in the offing?
You know, I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I've always been interested in running for public office. I think it's something I'll probably do in the future, not sure when, but it's something I'd definitely like to do.
Jace, thanks a lot for speaking with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And same to you, Trevor.
And thank you for inviting me. I had a great time.
And good luck to both of you at the national conventions. Your states should both be very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
17-year-old Jace LeCair from Colchester, Vermont, is the youngest delegate to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland next week. 17-year-old Trevor Dewiron of Jay, Maine, is the youngest delegate to the Democratic National Convention the week after in Philadelphia.